And we welcome you into Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us. Alongside Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes as we break down all that is happening with respect to the New York Giants. Minicamp practice has officially wrapped. So now the Giants will take a break before they get started with training camp in late July. We'll summarize minicamp. We'll get into some of the key players, the key themes, and some of the question marks as they head into training camp and try to solidify the 53-man roster. Two ways for you to interact with us here on the program, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter, on the phones 201-939-4513. First off the top, there were a few injuries, or at least players that didn't take part in the final practice. Mykel Thompson and Bennett Jackson, two players in the secondary that were sidelined today. Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham once again on the side, as well as Nat Burhe, who is still nursing that calf injury. So no major surprises with respect to that. Eli Manning, his final pass of minicamp was a touchdown to Ruben Randall on a fade. So he ends his minicamp on a very strong note. And now the team will break, Anita, before they get back on the field in late July. And I think we could talk about a variety of things on the program. Players that stood out. What did we learn about the team? The defensive coaches spoke earlier in the week. Today, all of the offensive coaches will speak. So we'll learn a little bit more later today with respect to the offense. But, you know, what is one of your biggest takeaways over this three-day span of minicamp?
Great question. It's evident that they're going to need more help at on the offensive line. That's probably the biggest in the biggest concern. You want me to go negatives? Let's start.
Yeah, you go whatever direction you want.
let's start negatives and then let's end on a positive.
Sounds good.
So for me, probably the one of the biggest glaring issues is the offensive line and concerns, obviously, with what's going on with Flowers and in that transition and learning and growing. I had a chance to talk to Will Beatty. Even though obviously he's not able to practice, he's here. He spoke to the media and he said, listen, don't forget. He's like, you know, Pugh had to start on the offensive line as a rookie. Richburg had to start on the offensive line as a rookie. This is not, this is nothing new. This isn't ground shaking. However, but keep in mind, you know, it is the left tackle position. It is protecting Eli Manning's blind side. But I did have an opportunity, like I said, to speak to him, and he's looking to take Flowers kind of underneath his wing and help him along. He's going to be there for him when he has questions. And also, he did say that, listen, as soon as JPP gets back here, that's going to be crucial because Flowers will be able to learn from JPP and really then start getting ready to start at that left tackle position and going up against a number of the defensive ends that he's going to be going up against during the regular season. So the offensive line, more concerned, obviously, with the right tackle position. I don't believe that starter is on the team as of yet, unless, of course, Jeff Schwartz moves over to right tackle. So for me, biggest glaring issue, obviously, big question marks at the safety position. However, really, nobody's really been healthy. I mean, Cooper Taylor started opposite Landon Collins in regard to first team the past 3 days, but that's because Nat Burhe is dealing with a calf issue. He's got a lot of swagger. He's talking a good game. The expectation is that he's going to be healthy come training camp, and I think he's really going to come in and he's going to compete for that starting position. Right now, if you were to say, Anita, this is the roster in regard to the DBs, who's going to be your starting safeties? Even though we didn't see Nat Burhe practice the past 3 days, I'm saying it's Nat Burhe. I mean, he's talking like it's his job to lose, and he's coming in here and he wants to win it. And I do believe that he is one of the best talented safeties that they have on the roster. So I do believe as of right now, it's Burhe and Landon Collins going into regular season game one. Does that change? They bring somebody else in? Does another safety on another team get cut, given an opportunity to come in here? You know, only time will tell. So those are the two negatives. Positives, you know, I'm excited about what the running back core can do. That's pretty exciting. All three of those guys were able to practice, and I think that there's some big expectations there for them. Unfortunately, we did not see Odell. We did not see Victor. We did not see Larry Donnell or Victor or Odell because of injury. But I think it's safe to assume that we can expect them to take one step ahead and even be bigger and better than last year. And defensively, I guess the biggest negative is the fact that JPP wasn't here, but you don't blame him. He hasn't signed his tender yet. The expectation and talking to a number of the coaches in around the facility and a number of the defensive players, I had an opportunity to talk to Robert Ayers yesterday, is that JPP will be here for training camp. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that he's going to work out a long-term deal with the Giants? Does it mean that he's going to sign his tender? I think it means one or the other. Which one, we don't know. Only time will tell. Obviously, the Giants have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal. If that does not happen, I still think he signs his tender, and I think he shows up, and I think he'll be here for camp. So, and also, very excited about the linebacking core, but I've been saying that for weeks now. And some people feel that I'm very biased about JT Thomas. I had an opportunity to talk to Jamel McClain as well as John Beeson, and both of them are really singing the praises that I've been singing about JT Thomas. So excited about the linebacking core.
Well, clearly a number of positions to note as we get set for training camp. Piggybacking off of some of the things that you brought up, I would agree. I think Nat Burhe is still very much in the driver's seat to try to secure one of the starting spots as a safety. I was impressed with what he had to say dating back to the beginning of the offseason workout program when the players returned to the facility and he had that press conference. It appeared as if he had that chip on his shoulder. And I was anticipating to see some of that on the field over the course of minicamp. Unfortunately, because of this calf injury, they're being precautious. No need for him to re-aggravate an injury so that he's out longer. Therefore, keep him on the sideline. Hopefully, he'll be healthy for training camp. But once he gets out on the field, you know, there's a great deal of motivation, and I would expect a lot out of Nat Burhe. That doesn't mean that Cooper Taylor's out of the equation. I think it's going to be wide open. And I would not necessarily pencil in Landon Collins as a definitive starter either. Now, when it's all said and done, I would expect Landon Collins to start. But, you know, right now, everybody has an opportunity. And that's what Tom Coughlin has preached. That's what the coaching staff has preached. And Dave Merritt, who is one of the secondary coaches who focuses strictly on the safeties, he spoke to the media earlier this week, and, you know, he was talking about the group as a whole and said, listen, this is somewhat uncharted territory because there's really not that veteran leader Anita in the mix like they've had in previous years. So everybody's going through the growing pains. Everybody's learning the playbook, but, you know, everybody is somewhat at the same level. Another player, for example, that Dave Merritt brought up was Justin Curry, who is an undrafted rookie. He's one player in particular that has stood out to him. Bennett Jackson has made the transition dating back to when they spoke to him about perhaps moving from corner to safety. He was very animated about that move. That's something that stood out to the coaching staff. So there's a number of players that may not be household names, but have put their stamp on minicamp and I think have made some strong impressions. And that's going to lead to, I think, better competitions come to start a training camp.
I think Landon Collins is a starter. I'm not even, and I had an opportunity to speak to him that Giants Insider will be up on Giants.com within the next few days, so you have an opportunity to hear what he had to say. And he said the same thing you did, and that is that he's competing for this position. But I'm not buying it. I think he's the starter.
Well, he's the front runner, I would say. But, you know, listen, we don't know what happens with respect to anything else.
I'll be shocked. Giants trade up for him. I'll be shocked if he doesn't start.
I would agree. I'm expecting him to start too.
But he's saying the same thing you are. I mean, he's competing for the position. Position has not been given to him yet. Okay, I'll be shocked.
Well, but that's how he should have the approach, and I think every other rookie should have that approach, because the minute you start thinking that everything's handed to you, then all of a sudden you become content, and all of a sudden that could impact your work ethic and so forth. So every rookie, whether you're number one, you're number seven, you're undrafted, you all have to have the same mindset, especially when you're walking into a situation where, you know, they expect big things from him. And there's the opportunity for Landon Collins to deliver, considering right now the two safeties who started last season are no longer on the team. So that position, and even Steve Spagnuolo talked about this, probably one of his most notable statements during the course of his press conference, Anita, was he talked about the importance of the safety position in this defense and said that everybody has to have faith, everybody has to have confidence in the safety position specifically. And if you lose trust in the safeties, then that could obviously impact the integrity of your defense. So it's not just Landon Collins. The position as a whole is a key point of emphasis within Spags' scheme. And he made that very clear to the media. He did not hold back. He said they have to trust those safeties because those two players in particular, whether it be Strong, whether it be left, whether it be right, makes no difference. Those two guys set the tone.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. What are you more concerned with? Because obviously the two biggest glaring issues for the Giants heading into this season is offensive line and safety. What doesn't sit well with you the most
in terms of both of those positions?
Yeah, what's the one that you just are not confident about?
I'm not as concerned about the offensive line with respect to the safety as a comparison. The reason why I'd say there's more question marks and concern perhaps about the safeties is, you know, talking about a lot of inexperience there. You know, guys that haven't been on the field, at least at the NFL level, very often. The offensive line, the roles are not necessarily solidified, Anita, but there's experience there. And guys who were banged up last year, I think, are at least taking part in minicamp, which is encouraging. They're back to full health. Ereck Flowers is a number one pick. Once he gets the pads on, I'm sure we're going to start to see progression. And what you brought up, and I've been saying this all offseason, there's a track record in place with respect to the Giants where rookies have come in year one and they have been thrown into starting roles, and more often than not, they have thrived, or at least that they have digested the offense, whether it be Justin Pugh or Weston Richburg. And two of those players who I mentioned got into the starting lineup as a result of injuries. Ereck Flowers is in the same boat. Will Beatty goes down, the door opens, now Flowers has to grasp it. So yes, I would agree there's question marks on the offensive line, but overall as a group, there's more experience on the offensive line than there is with respect to the safety group. So it's show me time for this safety group once they put the pads on, once they become more aggressive, and hopefully Matt Burhe is fully healthy to take part in training camp, because, you know, not a lot of players that maybe the Giants are envisioning starting have had a lot of opportunities to be on the field together at once, and you need that continuity because you want that to translate to preseason games as well as regular season games. So to answer your question, I'd go safety right now as opposed to offensive line. That could certainly change over the next few weeks, but based on what I've seen, based on the facts that I've gathered, I think safety to me has more of a question mark right
now. I'm with you.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. In case you're just joining us, just real quickly, in terms of the injury front, Bennett Jackson, Mykel Thompson did not take part in the final minicamp practice. Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham also on the sidelines once again, as well as Nat Burhe with the calf injury. Minicamp practices have wrapped. Right now, players are talking to the media in the locker room, and then later today, the offensive positional coaches will chat with reporters. So stay locked to Giants.com. All throughout the course of the day, we'll keep you posted on that front. Right now, let's open up the phone lines. We'll also get to your tweets at hashtag GiantsChat. Lewis is in Long Island. Lewis, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well, Lewis.
Great.
What do you have for us?
I got two questions. First question is going to be, what do you guys think our strongest core in the team is? You know, our wide receiver core, probably not the safety core, but our linebacking core. What do you think is the strongest asset that the Giants have at this moment?
I'd lean towards wide receiver, and I know that was one of the positions you threw out there, because if you're basing it on depth and experience, Lewis, I look at this receiver core. You know, you can make a case for 6 to 7 wide receivers to make this team because of their track record and their production. So if that's the case, show me another position on this team where you can go 6, 7 deep and there's been consistency and continuity. I think there's other positions that are close, but I think the wide receiver group stands out amongst the most.
My only concern in regards to the wide receiving core is obviously Odell's hamstring issue. Hopefully it's not even an issue come training camp when they reconvene the end of July, beginning of August. Still some question marks in regard to Victor Cruz. I mean, listen, he's running great ghost routes. A number of the coaches are saying that he's running faster, more crisp routes than he did prior to the surgery. That's all fantastic. But what happens when he matches up against a strong safety and he's getting really physical with him off the line of scrimmage? Can he get off the line of scrimmage? That's going to be the big question mark. Does he really start? Does he start off on the pup? We don't know. And I've been saying this for a long time now. I'm a big Reuben Randall fan. But we need to see consistency. We need him to show up and give us the vintage Reuben Randall each and every game on Sunday, whether it's Monday, Thursday, whatever the case may be. So there's just, I'm with you. I think the depth and the talent that's on this wide receiving core is ridiculous. But will it all come together in regard to consistency and health? I'll go one step further in regard to the position. I love the running back position. If Rashad Jennings can stay healthy, What Shane Vereen could bring to the table, and I know that Andre Williams has a lot of fans out there. I mean, whenever we throw up a running back question, fans call in. They love Andre Williams. This is his second year. I think the sky's the limit for all three of these guys, and they're all so versatile that you could use them in a number of different ways. So I'm with you. Wide receiver position, very deep. But got some concerns in regard to health and consistency. But I think that running back core is a very close second.
Yeah, I'm a I was going to say either the wide receiver core or the running back core, and it's crazy. Although we do have, like, injuries in the wide receiver core, you know, Odell, Minor is probably more precautionary than anything, but obviously Cruz coming back, we still have talent. So if we're putting the wide receiver core up there with the running back core, it shows you how much talent we already have, although we do have injuries. So we'll see what's going on, how that plays out. I have my fingers crossed. And my next question, if you guys have a second, what's going on with the slot corner side? I know McBride is probably like the next man up, but do you think that he's going to be consistent, or have you seen him in mini camp or anything like that, that you have more insight than I do?
I think McBride's very excited about this position and this opportunity with the corners. You hit the nail on the head. It is McBride, and I think he's excited.
We've seen Jaron Hosley and Mike Harris get work there too, but McBride is the first guy on the depth chart as it appears right now. Clearly, he's been out there during the course of mini camp. He had some injuries that he dealt with last season. The previous season, he was a consistent guy out of the secondary. So, you know, right now it's a matter of him staying healthy, and he will have an opportunity to lock down that slot position. But from what we've seen, and remember, you can only read so much into practices when there's no pads, there's not much physicality. He's looked good out there, and as long as he maintains that, I think he's in the driver's seat with respect to that slot position.
Absolutely right. I'm right there with you guys then. All right, I appreciate you guys taking my call and answering my questions.
Sounds good, Lewis. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. You give us a ring at 201-939-4513 here on Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. She's Anita Marks. I'm Lance Meadow. Good to be with you. We are wrapping up mini camp here at the Giants facility, talking about the big picture of the team, some of the strengths, some of the weaknesses, some of the question marks, and some of the players that have stood out so far during the offseason program, and what are you most excited about learning about this team as they get set for training camp? Let's go to Dean in Connecticut. Dean, what's happening?
This is Don.
Don, okay. Don, sorry about that. What's happening?
That's all right. Hey, I've been a Giant fan for 50 years or more, and looking forward to a successful season, but I'm a little concerned because Pro Football Focus came out with Giants, I think, in 21st place or 22nd. Do those should I be concerned about that? Is that indicative of how well they'll perform this year?
Well, I think that didn't you and John do an entire show when that report came out from Pro?
We had mentioned it in passing. We didn't do an entire show, but we did.
Oh,
we were aware of the report.
I thought you had a guest on from Pro Football Focus to talk about
earlier
it.
In the season. We had. We didn't have anybody on in terms of since those rankings came.
Well,
out.
Well, I thought you know, again, the reason that ranking came out and they ranked the Giants where they did was based on roster. And they said one of the best players that they had. I want to say they listed Jeff Schwartz. I was a little, of course, Beckham, but I was a little surprised in regard to the players that Pro Football Focus found most valuable for the Giants. I thought not a knock on Jeff Schwartz. He's fantastic. But I just thought that there were other players on this roster that they could have listed as more valuable if you're talking about a top three or top five guys, right?
Well, Jeff Schwartz, I think if you look at the fact that he was hurt last season, he is an asset to this team this season because he could certainly provide some consistency.
I'm not saying he's not. All I'm saying is based on that report, you can go online, Google it, Pro Football Focus. And I want to say they have the Giants ranked at 23, I want to say. I was just surprised. They mentioned the top five guys on this roster that they feel are the most valuable on this team. And, you know, I just questioned the guys that they listed. That's all. And I think the Giants should be higher up.
Don, to answer your question, I mean, this is my personal opinion. I don't put much stock or substance into preseason rankings or offseason rankings. You know, I'm the type of guy, it's a show me time, and I've got to see teams perform when they put the pads on and they get out on the field. So until that happens, and that hasn't happened for anybody right now, to me it's just a pure game of speculation at this point. And I know a lot of people need something to chat about and they need dialogue in the offseason. That's why we see NFL rankings here and there. I wouldn't read too much into it. We have yet to really see what this team is all about. We have yet to see the identity of this defense, and we're not going to learn that until at least the early stages of training camp.
Great, thanks. I enjoy your show.
Appreciate it, Don. Thanks so much for weighing in. And I know that there was obviously a ranking yesterday, Odell Beckham as number 32 overall in terms of the NFL top 100 and so forth. And you're going to see a number of rankings, I'm sure, that are going to come out over the next few weeks. It's a matter of opinion. and it's obviously something that will trigger a great deal of debate. But a lot of these things are based on what they saw out of these players last season. They're not necessarily taking into consideration how teams look this season, and it's impossible to really decipher who's the strongest team right now because nobody's been on the field, and a lot of players are holding out because of contracts of importance. And I'm not just talking about the Giants. I'm talking about across the board, and there are a number of players that have been hurt thus far. So you got to give teams an opportunity to really gel together, and we're not going to learn more until we at least get to training camp.
Really quick, just to make a comment off of that in regard to Odell Beckham Jr. and where he was ranked in regard to the top 100, T.Y. Hilton, wide receiver for the Colts at number 35, A.J. Green, wide receiver for Cincinnati at 37, and Pro Bowl tight end Jimmy Graham at 31. Just to kind of give you an idea of where Odell was lumped in, he's in good company.
He is. Well, he had a tremendous rookie season. That goes without saying. So I am not surprised that he's already in that company. But at the end of the day, the Giants as a team want to have that high ranking, not necessarily the individual players, because if the team does well, then clearly that's going to yield good things in 2015. Rob is in Connecticut. Rob, what's happening?
Yeah, thanks, guys, for taking my call. You know, I agree about safety being the biggest concern, but another concern I have, I know, Anita, you spoke highly of Thomas, but I'm really concerned about linebacker. I mean, I got to tell you, if John Beeson could give us 13 starts this year, that would be fantastic. But if he's hurt again, then I'm really worried because I don't see vast improvement overall in the defense in terms of a roster versus last year. And if John's not available and gets injured, then I'm really worried. I'm really worried about us stopping the run and whatnot.
Well, keep in mind, you have Jamil McClain, who I feel is going to share that middle linebacking position with John Beeson. I think that's going to be a 1-2 punch there. I had an opportunity to talk to Jamil McClain. Keep in mind, he's very familiar with Spags' defense in regard to what Spags is implementing from the Ravens because McClain spent some time with the Baltimore Ravens. Keep that in mind. So he's already kind of one step ahead of the curve. I can't even say enough about not only what we've been talking about, but what the coaches and the players on the defensive side of the ball are talking about Devon Kennard. This really could be a Pro Bowl year for him. A, if he stays healthy, because we know we really haven't seen him throughout OTAs and minicamp, and B, if Spags is going to utilize him in the way that we're hearing that he's going to utilize him and put him in certain positions to really make some big-time plays, maybe have double digits in sacks this season for Devon Kennard. That's exciting. And obviously the big question mark is JT Thomas. I could sit here and tell you how excited I am for him, what an addition I think he is to this linebacking core, his speed, how that's going to be a factor. But until I think fans really see what he does in training camp, in preseason, and then during the regular season, until fans see it for themselves, then you know, obviously I don't think there's anything more I can say to calm your nerves. But I guess I'm not as worried. The linebacking coach did speak to the media on Tuesday, and he said the same thing I've been saying for weeks now. This is the most talent, the most athleticism that the Giants have had in the linebacking core in years. And so he's really excited about it. So,
okay.
But listen, your fears are valid. You know, Beeson has to stay healthy, and it's not so much just, you know, what he does physically, but he is the leader on this football team. He will be a really big extension of Spags on that field. He is the leader of these men, and so that value is priceless. So you're absolutely right. Beeson does need to stay healthy.
And Rob, one of the things you mentioned was stopping the run, and you're right about that. I mean, if you look at the stats from last season and what they're hoping to improve drastically in, it's stopping the run. They ranked 30th in that department last season. So Spags talked about this. It's got to start there. You've got to be able to stop the run before you get creative. But before you worry about the linebacker position, Rob, I think getting that defensive line to be consistent in stopping the run can help that cause as well. And by adding a big guy like Kenrick Ellis on top of what Jonathan Hankins showed last season and having some more versatility in terms of your rotation at the defensive tackle spot, I think that's going to help them, number one, in terms of stopping the run. And the other nugget with respect to the linebacking spot, we don't know what Spags is going to do on second down, on third down. Now, I have a feeling he may throw out an extra secondary player. We may not see three linebackers out there, Rob, all the time. And I'm not trying to say that the linebacker position should be overlooked. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I think we get caught up that every single down, three linebackers are out there. And that means all three linebackers need to be on the same page. They need to be consistent. Maybe you throw a different safety out there. Maybe you throw an extra corner out there. You bring another safety towards the box. Remember, Landon Collins and Cooper Taylor are big enough guys based on their experience in college. You know, they can serve as that linebacker type of player. So until we see how Spags orchestrates his defensive alignments, you know, that may help the dialogue in terms of what they're expecting out of the linebacker spot.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Rob. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. And as you mentioned, they are talking, the coaching staff as a whole, they've mentioned this to the media, that there's a tremendous amount of upside and talent and versatility in this linebacker group, unlike perhaps what they've seen in the last few years. They brought in Jonathan Casillas, they brought in JT Thomas, versatile players, Devon Kennard now in a sophomore campaign. McClain has experience playing every single position, and that is something that I think is going to help in the event that somebody gets banged up. So on paper right now, you have depth, you have versatility. Now it's a matter of how do you maximize that versatility? How do you maximize that depth? That is going to truly be shown perhaps in the early stages of training camp. But don't overlook how some of these secondary players are going to be utilized, because I have a funny feeling, and there's no hardcore evidence at this point, going based on what Spags has said to the media and what the rest of the roster looks like, they may throw in some extra corners and safeties, and maybe we don't see three linebackers on every single down.
I mean, we really don't know. I you know, Paul spoke to the defensive – it was Tuesday. You and I were hosting. Paul was the one who kind of spoke with the defensive coordinator, Spags, and some of the coaches, and kind of got that tip, that little nugget that Spags is possibly thinking, throwing in kind of like a 3-4 philosophy here and there. And so – you know, since then, we've been trying to, like, talk to a number of the defensive players and kind of get an idea, and nobody's really revealing it. So, you know, until training camp, until the preseason games, and obviously even then, you know, teams don't show their full deck of cards. So, you know, I don't think we'll really get an idea of all that Spags is trying to implement here until maybe the second or third week into the season. You know,
which makes training camp that much more exciting.
Oh, yeah,
because
absolutely.
We still really have yet to see the true identity of this defense. Let's head to Twitter. A number of people weighing in on some of the topics that we've been discussing. Ben at BigBen_Z writes, wide receivers are our biggest strength for sure. Running backs have tons of potential, providing O-line growth and development. We were talking about, well, at least a caller brought up the question, where is there the most depth, the most strength on this roster? Nicholas at Nico 12561. I still maintain that the offensive line is the key to the offense and to the success or failure of this upcoming season. He goes on to write, if the Giants can't run the ball effectively, and if the new offensive line can't protect Eli, what does it matter what kind of weapons we have? Well, I mean, that's the basic fundamental of the National Football League. It does start and end with the offensive line. That is going to help your run game. It's going to help your passing game. But, you know, one thing to note from last season, Anita, and I think a lot of people just get so caught up in making generalizations about the offensive line, and there has been inconsistency on that front due to injuries. If you look at the numbers, pass protection improved last season from 13 to 14. The issue was not having that consistent running presence on the ground where you'd had better balance on offense. But pass protection did improve from 2013 to 2014.
Well, you know, it's something that Paul and I talked about. Listen, you've got to give Odell Beckham Jr. some credit there because, you know, Odell is one of those players where it's – you know, I call them mud bugs. They're so hard to cover. And so a lot of times when you saw Eli Manning under duress or he saw the blitz was coming, Odell is just so talented. It's hard to cover him for longer than a second, you know, 2 seconds, that he was able to get free. And thank you. And be able to get free and help Eli with the quick dump. I like to call it the quick dump. You know? So, yes, offensive line, I think Eli Manning in this offense and the way that it's executed, he was able to step up in regards to better pocket awareness, getting rid of the ball sooner, not trying to force it. And also, you've got to give credit to Odell Beckham Jr. getting open and able for Eli Manning to get him the ball with just a one-step or two-step drop.
And then looking ahead to this season, Beckham, Cruz, Randall potentially on the field at the same time. Think about the wonders that that should do for the running game and helping the offensive line maybe not see as much pressure. Because if you're a defense and you're going up against the Giants, and a hypothetical, let's assume everybody's healthy. So Rashad Jennings is in the backfield. Your offensive line that you worked on during training camp is all ready to go. Cruz, Beckham, Randall ready to go. If you're a defensive coordinator, you take chances with sending everybody towards the quarterback. You're putting a lot of pressure on your secondary. So I think having that personnel should take pressure off of the offensive line. I agree with Nicholas's tweet. Yes, it does start and end with the offensive line, but when you have a number of weapons that are on the field at the same time, that could also do wonders for your O-line because it changes the game of strategy from a defensive perspective. Let's head back to the phone lines. Marcus is in Philadelphia. Marcus, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing well, Marcus. How about yourself? What do you have for us?
I'm all right. I actually have a question and a comment. My comment first is, I was looking at the NFL replay probably about a week or so ago, and they had the 07 game against the Patriots, the last game of the season. And then they had the Super Bowl game. And I'm looking at the game, and I'm looking at our safeties. And at that time, our safeties, they were James Butler, Michael Johnson, and Jabril Wilson. Now, I'm looking at these three guys. None of these guys were high draft picks. None of these guys were highly touted guys, superstars. But they all came in the Steve Spagnuolo defense and did a hell of a job against probably one of the best teams of all time, than the Patriots, you know, defending Randy Moss. And I think they did a great job. There was a couple times where James Butler was out of place, but for the most part, they did a great job. I say that to say that I know as Giants fans, we panic a little bit about the unknown with Landon Collins and the safety situation. But I just believe with Steve Spagnuolo, I believe that he will put these guys in the proper place to make plays. And be successful in his defense. I know I read probably a couple weeks ago about our old defensive coordinator, Perry Fuel, and his in-game adjustment wasn't really that well. What he did when the players went into the game is pretty much what they stuck with the whole game plan, whether it worked or not. And I know Steve Spagnuolo is a great adjuster when it comes to in-game planning. So I'm just very, very comfortable with what we have. Myself personally, I don't fear the unknown. I'm very satisfied with what we have. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think that the track record does show that he has been very strong in terms of his in-game adjustments, and the players seem to reflect on that, Marcus, from just hearing what they're talking about in the locker room. There is complexities to this defense, and it's still in the early stages, but they do feel comfortable little by little in terms of what this defense calls for, what the goals are, and also his themes and his messages to the defense. You know, Spags is trying to get back that identity that worked for some of the best defenses in franchise history. So, you know, what he's talked about with the players, and he tests them on this. He'll throw in a tape of a 1986 championship game, and he'll tell them, you know, what did you pick up from this defense? This is the toughness that we want to showcase this season. So his approach, I think, is a little bit different than some other defensive coordinators. And, you know, the one other thing that's jumped out to me from hearing Spags talk to the media, he's very reflective on his career as a whole. Now that this is the second stint with the Giants. And he talks about what he picked up the first time around, even though he helped the Giants win a Super Bowl. You know, what he learned from being the head coach of the Rams. What he learned being an assistant with the Ravens. Being a consultant with the Ravens at first. And all the little things that he picked up, even as defensive coordinators, the Saints. I mean, he has been around the NFL. It's not as if between his first stint and his second stint here with the Giants that Spags has just, you know, crawled into a corner. So he's had a great deal of experience. He's worked with a variety of different players, and I think he's taking a little bit of everything and trying to see now, okay, what worked elsewhere? Now what do I have here that I can bring out of these players that has had success elsewhere? And right now he's just trying to find the right equation.
Okay. And I actually just have one more comment, and that is I know in the NFL, your job as a team is to win your division, and our job is to win the NFC East. Playing teams like the Seattles and the Green Bays, that'll come down the line. Of course, if they cross your path during the regular season, you want to beat them, but ideally you want to beat the teams in your division. And I'm here in Philadelphia. I listen to like the Philly Sports Talk radio shows often. And this is just my opinion being here, but the Eagles are in total flux. I mean, Chip Kelly, what he's doing here in Philadelphia is crazy. So, and with the Dallas Cowboys losing DeMarco Murray to the Eagles, I think will cripple them a little bit because Tony Romo had a great season because he didn't have to throw the ball a whole lot. So with those two things, I think they work in our favor. And a lot of people talk about these two teams, and we're like the dark horse. I believe I feel very comfortable with our team, and I really believe that we can, with the weapons that we have, and if we can stay healthy, I think we can do some big things this season. I'll listen to your comment off the air, and I appreciate you guys taking my call. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Marcus.
Let's talk about the NFC East for a minute. You've got a Dallas Cowboys team who's really kind of playing Russian roulette with Dez Bryant, in a sense. You know what I mean? I mean, are you going to sign him? Are you giving him that long-term deal? He's now threatening to sit out not just one game, but multiple games. I'm sorry, you've just lost DeMarco Murray. I know they're talking a good game in regard to the backs that they have there, but I'm not excited about their backfield right now. I don't think that's anything to get excited about. Granted, they've got arguably the best offensive line in the NFL, but you still need a good running back to run the ball. And Dez Bryant offsets what's going on with that passing attack. Because with Dez Bryant, you need to play honest defense. So Dallas is dealing with some stuff. Who knows what happens? They have until July 15th to work it out. But everything coming from the Dez Bryant camp is that he is going to hold out, that this is going to be a battle. Then, as the caller just said with the Philadelphia Eagles, I think a lot is going to depend on Sam Bradford. You know, will Sam Bradford be ready for training camp for the Eagles? Will he stay healthy? Will his knee survive in that offense? The one thing that I do like about the Philadelphia Eagles is their backfield. I think they have arguably one of the best backfields in the NFL. I mean, heck, when you've got Darren Sproles as your third running back, who very well could be a 1B on somebody else's roster, that's pretty impressive. You know, I think the biggest knock or concern for the Philadelphia Eagles is their defense and their secondary. That's why they went out in free agency in the draft, and they tried to improve that. You know, defensively, how good are they going to be? That's the big question mark. And then with the Washington Redskins, you know, RG3 is coming out and saying that he feels better now than he's ever felt before. He's really excited about this season. Gruden, you know, this is his second year with this offense. I think they're the biggest question mark. I think they're the biggest I don't know factor, not only just in that division, but I think in the NFL. I don't know what to expect from Washington this year. So with that being said, every team kind of has somewhat of an issue, somewhat of a concern. I think the Giants are sitting pretty right now.
Well, it's extremely premature to know what we're going to see out of those teams because, like you said, they have just as many question marks as the Giants do because they are far from putting together their 53-man rosters. With respect to Dallas's backfield, obviously DeMarco Murray's a significant loss, but the fact that the offensive line is still intact I think is going to help their cause regardless of who's in the backfield. In terms of the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, they've gotten rid of a lot of notable players. Jeremy Maclin, LeSean McCoy, they just let go of Evan Mathis, so you know, Chip Kelly's going younger. He's also brought in some players who have some injury histories, and you never know how that's going to pan out. So that is going to be interesting to watch. Philadelphia was great in getting the quarterback last season. They were very strong in sacks. They had questions and issues in the back of the secondary. They did address that. They brought in Walter Thurman, former Giant. They brought in Byron Maxwell, who's with the Seattle Seahawks. They brought in a few players via the draft. So they've addressed that specific entity of their team. And the Redskins have also brought in some new faces in the secondary. But, you know, how are these groups of players going to come together? I mean, that's really going to define the NFC East. As I say every season, and it's proven to be the case every season, regardless of all the question marks that we've just brought to the forefront, it is always a grind and a battle to win this division. Teams that we don't think are going to be strong or make some noise wind up making things interesting because they steal a game within the division. And that, to me, is what makes this division somewhat so exciting to watch, because even a team that is at the bottom of the division, Anita, at the end of the day, you can't take that game for granted. There were seasons where the Giants had some trouble with the Washington Redskins when the Redskins weren't necessarily at top of the standing. So, you know, I think that it's important to keep that at least in perspective when you evaluate what's going on with respect to this division right now. We also want to try to squeeze in a few callers here as we take you till the top of the hour. Let's head to Dean, who is in Connecticut. Dean, what's happening?
Hey, not much. Now that all my thunder's been stolen here, huh?
Why is that?
What's that?
Why was your thunder stolen?
Oh, no. Everything that I was going to talk about the last caller and the team that just touched up on.
Gotcha. So what do you have for us?
As far as the linebacker position, the other guy was talking about.
We're listening.
Honestly,
Dean. Yeah.
No, you go ahead.
No, I'm listening. I'm all ears.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I think 13 games is kind of too much, to be honest with you. And I think also that might slow the progression of Kennard being wet. Do the Giants see Kennard as the future middle linebacker if Ethan gets hurt and they got to fly him over? That could slow the progression if Plantman being there. If Ethan can't stay healthy, you know, they're going to throw him on the outside. He's going to learn the outside, the strong side linebacker position. Then Beeson goes down. If McClain's not healthy, they got to slide Beeson over the middle. And that could just, you know, deter his progression. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, keep in mind, though, Kennard played multiple positions when he was in college. So he has experience in the department of they move him to the outside, they move him to the middle, they move him up to the line. You know, he's the type of player that I think is able to work on different positions simultaneously, and even going back to last year during camp and during the course of the season, he was moved around too. So I don't think that's a significant concern. The goal is the more positions you learn before the season even starts, it should better prepare you, Dean, in the event that you do face a notable injury.
Well, absolutely, and Kennard's my wildcard this year to be the, in my opinion, I think he's going to have a fantastic year. He might even lead the team in sacks this year. But and then the last thing I want to touch on as far as safety is, I'd be shocked as well if Landon Collins isn't one of the starters. But I remember when in 07 when Spags was here the first time, we didn't have a lot of great athletic safeties on the roster, but they had good hands. And I think the person that's going to have to play opposite of Landon Collins is going to have good hands. And we don't know what Napper he's going to bring to the table. We don't know what Cooper Taylor is going to bring to the table. But I'm pretty sure that Bennett Jackson, when he first got recruited to Notre Dame, was a wide receiver, if I'm not mistaken. Am I correct on that?
He played multiple positions during high school and college. Wide receiver was one of the positions that he does have experience with, correct?
Okay, so just to say Bennett Jackson looks great in camp and he has great hands, I mean, wouldn't you want somebody back there in the back half of that defense that can actually catch the ball? I mean, that's where I'm coming from at this point.
Well, I agree with you, but I think that there's many facets and many characteristics of being a safety in this league, Dean. So I think even though a guy may stand out for his hands, you also need to make sure that his instincts are there. He understands the scheme. He understands the position. He understands the area of his coverage. So you're looking for the all-around player. You're not just saying to yourself, oh, this guy on the side, he's got the best hands, let's throw him in there. I think Bennett Jackson needs to prove that he's a complete safety, not just one player who happens to have good hands.
All right, well, let me throw you on the hot seat right now, Lance. If the season were to start tomorrow, who would be your starting safeties? And I'll take it off the air. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate the phone call. Well, Anita and I discussed it off the top.
I said it earlier, Nat Burhey and Landon Collins. If the season was to start tomorrow, as in fast forward, where Burhey is healthy and he's not dealing with a calf issue anymore, right now I think it is those two guys and it's their position to lose.
My concern, obviously, about Nat Burhey, as Anita just mentioned, is the health. I'm going under the impression, come training camp, he's going to be ready to go. Now, I'll throw out last season as an example. I was very high on Trindon Holliday. I thought that he was going to add a different component to this offense. The problem is Trindon Holliday got hurt, and he never got on the field. I'm not saying that Burhey is going to become one of those players, but we have to take into consideration the injury history. We can't at least overlook it. The goal is he'll be healthy for training camp. Once he is out there getting the reps on the practice field, I envision he and Landon Collins being good complements for one another and solidifying the two starting jobs. If he's not healthy and he's not able to prove himself on the field, then to me it's really open season. Cooper Taylor then has more of an opportunity. Bennett Jackson, who Dean, the last caller, just mentioned, I think is also very much in the mix. And then you go down the line. Does that open the door for a guy like Justin Curry, who I mentioned off the top, who has looked very good in minicamp and has caught the attention of the coaching staff? There is a lot of inexperience in this group, and when there's inexperience, that means that everybody is pretty much at the same stage and the same level entering camp. Eddie is in California. Eddie, what's happening?
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Eddie.
I was calling today because yesterday I went on the Bleacher Report, and they marked our two tight ends, Daniel Fells at number 15 and Larry Donnell at number 20, and the top 60 best tight ends. Do you think they like that? Would you rank them there, or would you rank them a little higher?
Well, I would actually put Larry Donnell above Fells, personally, and you know, I think what did you say they listed Fells at?
They listed Fells at number 15 and Larry Donnell's number 20, but it was because Fells, they felt he was a better blocking tight end.
What was the criteria, just out of curiosity? I haven't seen this list. Did they list, Eddie, why they were putting players in certain positions? Were they looking at numbers, blocking? Were there like three or four different things?
Yeah, there were their ability to catch the ball, their ability to block, their ability to run routes, their speed, and there's another thing, but I do not recall at the moment.
Well, I mean, I don't really get caught up in rankings, as I mentioned again, but Larry Donnell, you have to understand, last season was his first season where he was a consistent part of the offense. He was a consistent part of the NFL. You know, prior to that, he was on practice squads and so forth. So it's understandable that his ranking is not through the roof because there's still the learning curve for him. Daniel Fells is more of the polished veteran who's been in the NFL. He's been with a few teams, and I would agree. He is known for being a blocker. He's not necessarily known for having as much versatility and upside perhaps as Larry Donnell, but based on the fact that you're talking about still a very young tight end, I'm not surprised where they at least have him ranked at this point.
No, I'm not. But again, I would put Donnell above Fells, although Fells is a better blocking tight end than Larry Donnell. But obviously, I mean, this is Donnell's position, in my opinion. Granted, yes, it's a competition. It's going to be a competition. I mean, did Larry Donnell do enough last year that this is his position and there is no competition? No, I wouldn't say that. But if I had to guess who was going to win the starting job, I'd say it's Larry Donnell again this year. So I would put I would put him above Fells, but I would have him in that 15 range. Yes, I do feel that that is a fair range for Larry Donnell, in that 15 range.
Okay. And I was hoping before I go, if you guys could tell me a little bit about our third backup right now, Vicky Stanzi. I was wondering if you guys see him making the cut or not.
Well, Standy was out there during the course of practice today, Eddie. Appreciate the phone call, and he's had plenty of reps in minicamp. I'm going to go back to the Giants' track record. I don't see them keeping three quarterbacks. It's not necessarily a reflection of Ricky Stanzi. It's just a reflection of the fact that I don't really see in the long run they're going to take up another roster spot, especially when they need to utilize that for other priority positions. Let's head back to the phone lines. We have been checking in with one of our colleagues throughout the course of the last few days with respect to minicamp. Paul Dottino has been in the locker room over the last few minutes. Paul, what's happening?
Guys, we just wrapped up about 45 minutes ago. That's it now. Players won't be back till July 30th for the beginning of training camp. The only injury suffered today, undrafted rookie wide receiver Brad Edwards came limping off at the very end of practice. Don't know the status of what that situation is. But other than that, just a couple of little tweaks there. DRC looked like he tweaked his foot momentarily, but then got back a couple of plays later, so that was nothing to worry about. Robert Ayers looked like like he may have twisted his ankle there for a play or two, but then he continued to work. So I think the Giants are relatively clean and healthy coming out of these 3 days. A couple of quick notes I do want to give you. Coach Tom Coughlin said he was pleased with two of the three practices, thought the other one was a bit sloppy. He thought that the rookie class showed a lot of seriousness and devotion, and they have a great attitude. He's extremely pleased with the progress of all the rookies. Was thrilled to get Double O out here after not being available in the OTAs. And then he also talked a little bit about the offense, saying that, you know, these guys, they really look sharp. It's that second year. We're really looking to hit the ground running. We got the mentality of we know what we're doing. So he's pretty pleased with things. I will add one thing.
Looks like we may have lost Paul DeTino. Sometimes the phones do not cooperate, even within the facility. Technology not necessarily on our side this afternoon. But Paul did give an update in terms of what Tom Coughlin had mentioned and the health of the team. I mentioned a few guys were on the sideline during the course of today's practice. But I think big picture, I don't think there's an opportunity to hit the panic button yet with some of these players who have maybe had some lingering injuries over the last few weeks.
No, I mean, listen, this is a warm-up, in a sense. Listen, minicamp is a warm-up. Really, and now these guys, they take a break, they're going away, some of them are going on vacation, some of them are going to spend some time with their families, some of them are going to continue to prepare and train and get ready for training camp and get ready for the season. And then everybody comes back here at the end of July to really get started. And that's where the Burhe calf issue might be a concern. That's where the Odell Beckham hamstring might be a concern. That's where all eyes on Victor Cruz in regard to what will he be doing at training camp, how much will he work. Will he be live action? Will there be contact? I mean, that's when really a lot of these topics and everything more so will paint a better picture for us in regard to pros, cons, what to be concerned about, and what to be excited about.
And that's what we're talking about throughout this program. The things that you are looking forward to once we get to the start of training camp, some of the question marks related to this team. We're getting in more tweets at hashtag Giants chat. Bennett, BigBen_Z writes in, safeties have to be more a concern, not one NFL start among them, and three missed practices today. I have faith, but obviously some concern, and it's understandable. We talked about that off the top of the show, the fact that there is a bunch of young players in that group. Now, that can mean also very good things because players who are young are hungry, looking to make statements, looking to thrive. It doesn't necessarily mean all negative. Dave Schwartz at Dave Schwartz 70, he says he's concerned with a 21-year-old rookie protecting Eli's blind side, no matter his strength potential. If Eli gets hurt, obviously that is something to be concerned about, and it goes without saying that you do want to keep your quarterback standing upright. It's important to note one of the most durable quarterbacks in the NFL has been Eli Manning, but whenever you're talking about a blind side of a veteran quarterback, you want to make sure that he is encouraged with how the offensive line is producing. As I mentioned, we're talking about shorts, we're not talking about pads, we're not talking about a lot of physical activity. So, you know, to say how Flowers is going to pan out, what he's going to do, it's extremely premature, Anita. We have yet to see him go up against some of the top defensive linemen on this team. JPP hasn't been in camp. He will have an opportunity to show what he is made of once we get to training camp. Before that, it really is a game of speculation.
And really quick, apparently Odell Beckham Jr. Is speaking to the media, so unfortunately that's why we couldn't get Paul DeTino back on the line. We apologize. But again, I will say this. A few things that I really, really like about Eric Flowers, and that's his size, his strength. He's a mauler. He's just... because of his skill set and his strength and what he's bringing to the table, a lot of the obstacles that he's going to face as a first-time rookie offensive lineman, let alone left tackle in the NFL, will be able to compensate because of his strength and his ability. And I felt a lot more comfortable after my conversation with Will Beatty yesterday, and Will Beatty saying, like, listen, there are a number of rookies who start on the offensive line. Granted, yes, how many of them start at the left tackle position? Not many. But he seems very confident for Flowers. He seems very confident for this coaching staff. The Giants have arguably Flats, one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL. And Beattie knows that even though, you know, he can't contribute physically on the field, he's going to be there to help mentor and guide along Flowers. He said, listen, you know, he's going to have some rough spots. It's going to be a tough transition, but he has all the utmost confidence in the young man that he's really going to do some great things this season.
Well, and it's a unique situation that Flowers is being thrown into, Anita. We've talked about this throughout the offseason. Most tackles, whether they have experience on the right side or the left side, mainly the left side in college, rarely actually start their rookie year on the left side. They, more often than not, they go to the right side, and that probably was the game plan before Beattie went down. Unfortunately, when you have unexpected injuries, you need to make changes, and Eric Flowers, whether it be year one or year two or year three, the game plan was down the road, he could certainly be a cornerstone of an offensive line at the left tackle position. And that's why he is going to be in that position, at least for the time being, until perhaps Beattie gets healthy. I know when Beattie spoke to the media, because you were alluding to some of the things he mentioned, Beattie's not canceling himself out for the entire season.
No.
He's more than confident that he'll be back.
He's very confident he's going to be back. In fact, a few times in our conversation, he kept on reiterating that he wants this to be, you know, where this offensive line, he's got the utmost confidence in this offensive line that they're going to do well, that when it's time for him to come back and join the offensive line and submerge himself back into that starting lineup, that it's going to be a smooth transition. Now, of course, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves because we're talking, you know, what, 10 weeks? What's the expectation?
Well, 5 to 6 months was the timetable.
Right. So, you know, it's going to be a ways away. But when that does happen and when Beattie is healthy and he is ready to join that offensive line, it'll be interesting to see what happens, you know?
I mean, I think the fact that he's confident bodes well for his recovery. He mentioned the fact that he had surgery the day after the injury happened. Right now, he's at the point where he has to be careful who he even comes in contact with, because the pectoral muscle is at the point where it's got to fully heal before you could even think about lifting, stretching it, and so forth. So it's very early in terms of his rehab process.
He said the most difficult part is that he can't hold his daughter. He comes home from work and his daughter's daddy, daddy, daddy. And he said the most difficult part is that he can't pick her up. I thought that was really cute.
Well, this was a similar injury, the same injury, I should say, that Robert Ayers dealt with and Walter Thurmond in terms of the pectoral muscle. So a number of players have been through it. It's an unfortunate injury that Will Beattie suffered, but it's all about the next man up. And obviously, Eric Flowers is going to have an opportunity. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. We are wrapping up the mini camp that just got done in terms of the practice session. Offensive assistants, we'll talk a little bit later on. Number of themes that we have delved into over the course of the program, focusing on some of the question marks, some of the things that get you excited that you're looking forward to with respect to training camp, and also key players that have jumped out in mini camp. But we didn't really necessarily get into that. Corey Washington probably tops the list, Anita, of all the players who I think really showed his progression. One of the things that to me was notable in terms of a takeaway, Tom Quinn was talking about his progression as a special teams player. And he mentioned that right now Corey Washington is on two of the four special teams. And what I mean by that, he's on the return teams for kickoffs and punts. They want him to make his presence felt on the coverage teams. And that is going to be a facet of his game to watch once training camp comes along, because we get a lot of calls, we get a lot of tweets. You know, why doesn't Corey Washington see more time as a wide receiver? Why is he not more heavily involved in the offense? Now, part of it was learning the offensive playbook, but the other part was maximizing the guys you dress every week, and they need Corey Washington to be active on all four special teams. And Tom Quinn hit it right on the nose. That, to me, was the best takeaway of what all the coaches have said over these last few days.
And keep in mind, I mean, you know, the reason that we've heard such great things about Corey Washington is because he's getting an opportunity. You've got Odell Beckham Jr. and Victor Cruz that have not been able to suit up and not be able to practice the past 3 days. So what an amazing opportunity for Corey Washington to get the most reps to work with Eli Manning. And I want to say that he scored, I think the last play was Eli Manning touchdown pass to Corey Washington yesterday, I want to say. But, you know, he's had an opportunity. This is a guy that typically works with Nassib. This is a guy who typically works with a second and third team. And because Odell and Victor haven't been here, he's working with the first team. And, you know, that's kind of night and day. So I'm excited for him. He walks around here. He's got a huge smile on his face. He's got a great presence about him. What we've been able to see him do at practice, OTAs, mini camp has been really impressive. Hopefully that continues throughout training camp. And if he does impress and really makes a name for himself on special teams, I think he'll be a part of this wide receiving core. And I do believe that they're going to carry six heading into the regular season. I know that's a big question mark. How many wide receivers do the Giants carry? I think they carry six, and I think they have to because of the concern with Cruz and Victor.
Well, and I think that
there are six
players that warrant a roster spot as it stands right now. It's not as if you're just keeping six for the sake of keeping six. Even if you are concerned about Victor Cruz's injury, I think you feel good that you have enough depth where even if Cruz does miss some time, somebody else can at least step in and be productive because they have a good understanding of the offense. Two other players I want to note over the last few days to me that have been extremely productive, I think you focus on the corners, Prince and DRC. And I know I'm not throwing out an unsung hero. These are household names. But keep in mind, they were both hurt last season. And one of the key elements of this defense is going to be how aggressive Spags utilizes the corners and how he allows them freedom and flexibility. And both Prince and DRC have talked about that when they have addressed reporters. They have looked very good. They have been aggressive. They have been active. They have gotten their hands in passing lanes. They've collected their fair share of interceptions. That, to me, is an extreme positive because durability has been a concern for both of those players. And the fact that they're going out there as if it's week one tomorrow and they have looked very sharp, that's something that those two in particular can build off of. And it's energized the rest of the secondary group, I think. You can see that from practice. For example, today I was out there, and you had an interception that was brought in by Shockey Brown. First two guys up to greet him, Prince and DRC. Encouraging this group as a whole. And remember, Antro Roll's not there anymore, Anita. They're looking for that voice in the secondary. And Prince and DRC, I know DRC will admit he's not a talkative guy. But even if you do it through your activity and your behavior, other than words, there's room for those two to grow as leaders within the classroom, as within that group.
I don't see it with DRC. He's just not.
Not vocally, but I think just with his behavior.
He's just not. He's just not.
He's been active, though, through camp.
I understand that. But I'm just, you know, there's guys in the locker room who want to be leaders. You know what I mean? Like John Beeson's a leader. Jamel McClain's a leader. What I find really interesting is that Prince is having to become a leader on that defense. And I love what I've seen from him the past few years. You've seen a very quiet, shy rookie who came in develop into really a leader on the secondary. More so than anyone else on the secondary. And a big reason for that, of course, is because you've got, Roll and Stevie Brown who are gone. So I look at, but it's not a knock on DRC. There's just guys that just, they don't want to be leaders. They don't really want that role. They don't want that responsibility. It's not about them. It's not what makes them play well. There's just guys who don't want it. And DRC is one of those guys. I think he'd be really happy following Prince's lead.
So far they've complimented well. They complement each other well, I should say, in terms of their production both on and off the field. So that is going to wrap up our program today in terms of the final day of minicamp. As I mentioned, the offensive assistants will be addressing the media later today. All of those press conferences and interviews will be up on Giants.com. We'll have Big Blue Kickoff Live for you tomorrow at noon Eastern, and we will be up and running throughout the course of the offseason, even though it will be a quiet time period until the start of training camp. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll speak to you tomorrow right here on BBKL.